through our lives, God, and that you would be our focus. And we just love you, and I pray that you would just speak to us tonight. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Kids, you can be dismissed to class.
Stay here.
If you insist, señor.
Give him the whip.
Throw me the idol. No time to argue. Throw me the idol. I throw you the whip.
Give me the whip.
Adios, señor.
Sabito.
Dr. Jones, again we see there is nothing you can possess which I cannot take away. And you thought I'd given up. You chose the wrong friends. This time it will cost you.
Too bad the Jovitos. Don't know you the way I do, Belloc.
Yes, too bad. You couldn't warn them. If only you spoke Jovitos.
Okana Matuso! No basta!
But chasing idols can be pretty precarious. Welcome to the Rock Church. I'm glad you're here. Want you to know these are new beginnings. This is just our fourth church service, and we just want to welcome you. This is our family. Just a group of us that love God, and we want to help the rest of the world know about Jesus Christ. That's our message. We're just a family here together today. So what I'm going to do, something a little bit different today, is maybe not everybody got a hug today, so I think it would be good to hug somebody. Why don't you just go ahead and hug somebody? I'm going to go ahead and hug my wife, if you don't mind. It's nice to get a hug every day, huh? Now, some of you guys better just cool it. It's getting out of control. No, we are really, we're just a family of believers that love each other. Didn't know what I'd start here. But it's good. Anytime you come to this church, I hope that you do not feel judged. I hope you do not feel threatened. I hope you can feel you can just be yourself. That's what we are. We're just a few people. We dress differently. We're all pretty simple. But in this place, we want you all to feel safe and welcome and not judged. And even with this study that we're doing, thank God you're here, it's just a topical study. And what we're doing is we're just looking at different things that are really, I believe, relevant in our life. And I think that the church plays a vital role in helping us sort through what the Bible has to say, helping us sort through, as Christians, how we react to different things. And honestly, I think idolatry is out of control in the world. I really do. Most of us think maybe like the little gold head that Indiana Jones was chasing, or the golden calf that Moses came down and saw, that they had melted all the gold things and made a golden calf. That's what we think of when we think of idols. But as I studied it out this week and started thinking about idols and different types of things, I realized that myself, personally, there are just all kinds of things that can become idols in our lives. Let's look at this quote by Jim McMath. Idolatry is trusting people, possessions, or positions to do for me what only God can do. And I think that's where we need to be careful. We need to start looking. When we think of idolatry, what we're talking about, and kind of what the Bible dictionary that I have at home says, is that anything that leads to the dethronement of God from the heart. To the dethronement of God from the heart. As, for example, covetousness. That could be an idol in our life. It's something that takes us away from God. I think of it like a little diversion. Say if there's a hard rain, or when you were a child sometime, maybe you're up at a stream up in the mountains or something. And what I used to like to do was, and I still like to do, is put rocks in there and try to divert the water. Or if I'm out at a beach somewhere and the waves are crashing, you take the water and try to divert it around. And what idols can do is they can kind of divert our affections, what are meant for a holy God, our affections, our money, our energy, the things we think about. What idols can do can divert that to a different place than where it's meant to be. We were created to worship a holy God. And what different idols can do is they can divert that worship that we were meant to do, that we were created to worship. They can go someplace that they weren't designed to go. I'm going to read you a little story here called The Specialist. I like this story. In The Wounded Healer, Henry Nouwen, that's a book that he wrote, retells a tale from ancient India. Four royal brothers decided each to master a special ability. Time went by, and the brothers met to reveal what they had learned. "I have mastered a science," said the first, "by which I can take but a bone of some creature and create the flesh that goes with it. I, said the second one, know how to grow that creature's skin and hair if there is flesh on its bones. The third said, I am able to create its limbs if I have flesh, the skin, and the hair. And I, concluded the fourth, know how to give life to that creature if its form is complete. Thereupon, the brothers went into the jungle to find a bone so they could demonstrate their specialties. As fate would have it, the bone they found was a lion's bone. One added flesh to the bone. The second grew hide and hair. The third completed it with matching limbs. And the fourth gave the lion life. Shaking its mane, the ferocious beast arose and jumped on its creators. He killed them all and vanished contentedly into the jungle. I just think that's a good analogy. Because we too have the capacity to create what can devour us. Goals and dreams can consume us. Possessions and property can turn and destroy us unless we first seek God's kingdom and righteousness and allow Him to breathe into what we make of life. That roaring lion of idols or idolatry or things that take us away from God can consume us, can pounce on it. And I think oftentimes we're not even aware of it. We're not even aware of it. We're clueless. We have blind spots. I know I do. As I looked at this, I have blind spots. It all starts with God's Word. And it's pretty clear. Chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. That's where it all starts. That's where it all is intended. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God. And we get distracted. Oh my, we live in a generation now where information, every 2 years, I think it doubles. Information is just coming at us. Information, constantly, constantly. And it's drawing us away, I think, from God. It's a distraction. In Exodus, we get the Ten Commandments. And what was the second commandment? You shall not make for yourselves an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow to them or worship them. But we do. What do we worship? We worship other things. Mark Driscoll, who I like to listen to, one of his teaching was that he says the two greatest enemies of the gospel are religion and idolatry. Religion would typically be a struggle that believers have. They get so caught up in our religion. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. We get so caught up in our religion and the way we worship and how we're doing it just right and lining everything up, lining the dots up, that it actually can take us away from God. And idolatry, that's everything else in the world that touches our senses, can consume us and take us away from what was intended. And that's that relationship with God, that full life with God, in God, that we were created to experience. The point I just want to make is we must recognize and remove idols from our lives. You and I can help each other do that. Let's take a look at some things today. It says, therefore, my dear friends, Paul writes, flee from idolatry. He's talking to the Corinthians who had all kinds of stuff going on in their city. And in the verse before this says, no temptation has seized you except that what is common to man. And God is faithful. He says, God is faithful. He'll not tempt you with more than what you can bear. But when you're tempted, he'll also provide a way out, the Apostle Paul writes. God always provides a way out. Oftentimes we don't look for it, but that is a promise. God has promised you and me that He will always provide a way out, no matter what the temptation is. Sometimes we think we cannot overcome things, addictions, or different things that we think our flesh or that there's nothing control it, but God can. God gives us a way out. If we would just see it, if we would turn to Him, we'd keep our eyes on Him, the Creator. There's a couple different philosophies in this and a bunch of different books that are written on different things about what will enslave us. One particular philosophy is that hate, what we hate, will enslave us. I hate being overweight. I hate using computers. Or I hate being single. Or I hate being married. Or I hate this addiction I have. So that's our hell. When we're in that particular thing, that's our hell, and that's all we can think about. Is I hate being in this position. If I could only get over there, that would be my heaven. If I could only get away from this hell that I'm in, if I'm single, I want to get the guy so that over there, oh, that would be heaven. And we come up with what we call what would be like our functional savior. Or another philosophy would be what we love will enslave us and actually seduces us. What we love, the things we love. I love chocolate. I love my wife. I love this church. Honestly, one thing that I can struggle with is this church, because I love it so much and I want so much and I know God's at work here and I see Him and I want more people to know God, and I can just get caught up into it where it can be my idol. Certainly before we opened, it was for a few days there, because I thought everything had to be just right. Man, we had to have the kids' rooms ready, and so I was here from like 8 in the morning till 1 at night, and it became my idol. I just got sucked into that. It can happen so easily. The things that we love, you know, a good thing can turn out to be a God thing and then in turn turn into a bad thing. If some of the things, even ministry, certain things that we're doing, if it so consumes us that it takes take us away from the big picture, and that's our own personal relationship with God, if it takes us away from that, it can be an idol in our life. And it can divert some of our emotions, our time, and our money away from where all those things are supposed to go, and that's to our Creator, to God. Well, I want to look at three things tonight that would help us, three questions to help us recognize idols. Things that I looked at as I was preparing for this, and it was kind of convicting for me because I realized there's some things that, man, I need help with. First question would be, whose approval are you seeking? For the things that you do in your life, whose approval are you seeking? You know, if it's anything other than our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ, might have to rethink that a little bit. Whose approval are you seeking? Let's look at this verse in 2 Corinthians. What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. He's talking about you and me, believers. We are the temple of God. God comes in us. We are His temple. He wants to use us. We are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and I will be their God and they will be my people. Another verse in 1 John. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that He has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true. And we talked about truth not too long ago. What is true? Him who is true. God is truth. Jesus Christ is truth. And we are in Him who is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. All throughout the Bible, there's just story after story, Old Testament, New Testament, idols or things that people take their worship and eyes off of God and you put them on those things. And I think you and I are prone to do that. And we can learn from the Bible. We can learn from the characters of the Bible and how they dealt with situations. And we need to. I think the Bible is very relevant for today, what you and I face, the things that we face, this information onslaught that we're up against today. look at the book of Daniel. Daniel went through several challenges. He was thrown into a fiery furnace. And that's what I'm going to talk, I'll just share this story with, which is just a phenomenal story. I'll start in Daniel chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 4. But the title of this chapter is The Image of Gold in the Fiery Furnace. See, King Nebuchadnezzar went on a rampage to, well, he tried to strip the identity from Daniel and his friends. He renamed them, changed their names, changed what they ate, just really tried to strip their identity so that they would worship the king. Well, let's just start up in verse 4, chapter 3. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "This is what you are commanded to do. O peoples, nations, and men of every language, as soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, and harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar, I love that name, Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all the kinds of music, all the people, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshiped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forevermore. You have issued a decree, O king, that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, O king. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up." Oh my, this made King Nebuchadnezzar furious with rage. Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Man, these guys are in trouble. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king." Oh my God. Goodness, I love how bold these men are. "He will save us. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated up 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace was so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Oh my, what a picture that is in my mind. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there 3 men that were tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, O king." He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like the son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. And the satraps and prefects and governors and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair on their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. They didn't even stink like fire. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble. For no other god can save in this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. I'll bet he did. After that. But can you imagine? The only way, those guys had to be convinced. They had to be convinced that their God was real. Are you convinced? Am I convinced that my God is so real that I would allow somebody to throw me into a fiery furnace that was sure to burn me to a crisp? I don't know if I could. That's the kind of faith that God wants us to have. Amazing. What do you long for? What do I long for? That can be a good sign, a good measure, a good litmus test of whether we have idols in our life. What do you long for? What do you think about? What are you always saying, "Oh, if I had that"? This verse in Romans 1:25, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. That's what can happen, is we can exchange and start worshiping created things. Is it money? Is money on your mind? Is money on my mind? Is it sex? Is there some type of physical addiction that I have to something? Something I just can't stop thinking about. Something I just can't seem to get off of my mind. What do you long for? What do I long for? It can be family. Honestly, sometimes I think even my kids, I want the best for them so much that sometimes they can become my idol. You know, honestly, if it takes my family away from the relationship from the created God, if I focus just totally on them, it can be an idol. My wife. I love my wife. She's amazing. We've been married for 21 years. But sometimes I can put her in front of God. I can get caught up in thinking about her. I want to be with her again. That was amazing. I want to be with her again. But it can be a diversion at times. I'm called to know my Creator first and foremost, ahead of every single thing in my life. Every single thing in your life. God, I created you to worship. To worship what? Not your wife. I give you a wife because I love you. I want you to have a wife. That's a good thing. But you and your wife, you focus on me. Then it'll make sense. Then you can live it out in the way it's intended to be. I love the illustration of a man and a woman in love with God and God being here and focusing on that God, both the man and the woman, in kind of a triangle relationship. It's a picture of God himself and his relationship with us, the church, his bride. And as we grow closer to him and our relationships grows, we look over and, oh my, we're closer to each other. As we get closer to him, we're closer to each other. Any young person here, you might be single. Oh my goodness, a good way to think about a relationship. Or any person, even if you're not young and you're single, a good way to think about a relationship is, I have this relationship with God. This relationship with God that is so important, is so vital, is my everything. How is this person going to help that be more? Or is this person taking me away from my God? And that's what can happen, especially in our young relationships. We get so caught up in him and we think, oh, he's phenomenal. She is, oh, I can think about it. I can't even sleep. I have to call her at 4 in the morning. I have to see that man. Oh, there he is across the room. If it's taking you away from your Creator, that relationship with your Creator should be the one that's making my heart flutter. Invest in that. Invest in that. And trust your God to provide you with a man or a woman. You don't want to trust yourself in that decision. Oh, my. It better be the Creator that sets that one up. I spend plenty of my time dealing with forced relationships. God can heal it, and God is His grace and mercy. He can restore what the locusts have eaten away. But if you're on your own, cherish that time and pour it into your God. This is your time to build your relationship, because you're going to need it when you're married and you're down the road a ways. You're going to need that strong foundation that you built with your God. I promise you. I promise you. I like this verse too. And if you look for it as it's silver and search for it as hidden treasure. We're going through Proverbs in youth group, and we read through Proverbs 2, chapter 2, last Tuesday night. And I just love this section of Proverbs. I'll just go to it here. I love the first six verses, and I told everyone what I like to do sometimes when I read this is I will actually shout it out loud. The first six verses of Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 6. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, this is our Father, this is our God. Solomon's writing for his sons. God is using Solomon to write this to me and to you. My son, if you accept my words, if you store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and I know I do that. Every time it's the second day of the month and I'm reading this, I will say it out loud. Maybe not every time, but it just brings a smile to my face when I get to this verse. And I cry aloud, God, give me insight. Give me understanding. I want to know you more. You're the only thing I want to know more. Know you. Know you. Less of me, more of you. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. There's no other resource other than God. There's nothing better than our God as a resource. Turn to Him. This verse in Matthew is good. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. You know, we might think we need the nicest car or the nicest TV or the nicest boat or the nicest camper or the nicest gun or the nicest whatever. But it will mean nothing when we step off out of this life. Don't get caught up in what the world has to offer. Credit cards. Oh, get this credit card. You can have all the credit you want. I'll give you. I get so many offers. Everybody on this planet, I think, wants me to have a credit card. Every day, almost without fail, there's a letter. I don't know. There's somebody, a really good salesman somewhere, that's selling these letter packages with cards in them. Because they're everywhere, every place I've ever lived. Here you go. I'll give you this card. I'll give you this credit. I'll give you that. And we take it, and that's what our culture would have us do. They would convince us that, you know what, you have to have it today. You can have it today. You know what? The World Series, the Rockies are playing tonight. If you don't have that big screen, oh, look at that. No interest for 6 months or even a year. You can have it today. Walk in the store, take it home. It's yours. And it's just constantly we're getting hit with that. You can have this now. You can have sex now. You can just click right here on the computer. You don't have to wait for your wife. What old hag sleeping anyway? Just click over here. Click, click, click. It's a lie. It's a lie, it's a lie, it's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. The only way that you can break free from any of these bonds or addictions that you're having is God. God is the higher power, Jesus Christ. It's what every line in this talks about. it's about Jesus Christ. Everything alludes to it. Everything that builds on here, it's about Jesus Christ and who he was and what he did for you and for me. And when we finally understand that, when we finally step into that relationship with God, and we pour into that and pour into that, that is the only thing I promise you that will help you. I used to smoke cigarettes, like a pack or two a day. I used to like to smoke since I was 13. I just smoke. Thought that was pretty cool. And then when my wife got pregnant, and I think I was maybe 30 years old or so, my wife got pregnant with our first child, and I said, for the health of the baby, let's quit smoking. So Jeannie and I both quit smoking. And it was just a cold turkey thing. Now you might think, oh, you're crazy. You can't do that. If you replace God, I'm convinced of it. Because I used to drink a lot, too. I used to drink a ton, and that was my idol. Before I know the Lord, I used to drink. And then the next thing that I looked forward to every week was getting wasted. Oh, you remember last week when we got wasted? Oh, this week we're going to get wasted. Remember getting wasted? And my whole life just revolved around that. It was just, you know, when can we get the next high? When can we get the next drunk? And then when got pregnant with... No. I quit drinking after Jeannie threatened to kick me out. Yeah, I remember that now. Pretty bad. Finally, she said that was the end of the line. And you laugh now, and it wasn't that funny. It wasn't cute at all, really. I came home one night and just fell in the front door, and she had a bunch of friends around there, and we realized that there was a problem there. But at that time, I didn't know the Lord either, but I knew that I had a problem. What do you long for? What are you thinking about? What's next? Is it Friday? Is it, oh, once I get through this work week, and then I can just... Oh, for me, sometimes I can get caught up in just, I want time just to myself. Oh, and that can be my idol. I'm going to protect this day. I'm going to protect it. I'm going to protect it so I can just sit on the couch. Oh, I just want to sit on the couch. You know, I might not move from here for hours. And sometimes that can cloud my thinking. And I got a bit convicted about this week. I didn't stop doing it, but I was convicted. Well, God will help us with that. And I really believe that. I'm going on a tangent here. We'll trust God's taking me on that tangent. So where do you run for comfort? Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff. But if you think about it, a rod and a staff, that's not necessarily a comforting thought. But in this, it is. Because he's our Father. They comfort me. Your rod and your staff. You are looking out for me. You're taking care of me. You're comforting me. This hard circumstance is building my character. You love me so much that you're taking me down this road. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. My comfort in my suffering is this. Your promise preserves my life. Your promise preserves my life. In the hardest things that come your way, where do you run? When the hard things come, and they do come, and they come for all of us, where do you run? There's only, God is really the only one that can comfort. No matter how much you do a drug or drink or try to blot out things, there will not be comfort because sooner or later you're going to wake up. There will not be comfort in sex. No matter how much you think, oh, I've got to have that. No. There will not be satisfaction. It'll never fill what you're feeling. That comfort, what we're all yearning for, what we're all deep inside want, what I want most of anything else is what I was created for. And what you are yearning for, what you are striving for in this life, and why you get up in the morning and why you do the things you do is because God created you to worship him. God created you. That's the fit. That's Oh, that's where it is. A lifestyle of loving God, relationship with God, giving to God my very life. That's when, oh, this is starting to make sense. This is good. This is a full life. It's hard, mind you. Oh, my. The Christian life can be very, very hard. There's a thread of stuff suffering through there that I don't fully understand. And I don't know that I want to, but I do want to. Because that's when we become more like Christ. More like God, through all of that, that he takes us through. This is really not too complicated. I'm not a very deep thinker. Two ways to remove idols from your life is stop it and start worshiping God. Stop it. You know, honestly, that's how I had to quit cigarettes. I had to cold turkey it. And that's not for everybody. These days there's patches and everything else that you can kind of wean out of. But really, when you think about it, anything, if you ever had to quit or stop doing, you had to make up your mind. I used to have a porn habit once upon a time. You guys learned a lot of stuff about me tonight. Don't worry. God's at work there. He's transforming me. But until I was exposed and busted and in my mind realized that there's really a problem here, until I made up my mind and said, I stop. I'm quitting, God. I'm quitting. I stop. And we can make that promise all day long. You know what? I'm not going to do that anymore. I promise. You know, apart from God, we can do nothing. But there really is a point where you have to get convicted. And I think it's through God. It's God's word that really helps us, really convicts us. It's the only conviction that's real and true and right. When God convicts us, that's when those strongholds, we can work through them, we can sort through them, we can say, no. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not tempt you beyond what you can bear. He will not tempt you beyond what you can bear. And when you are tempted, he will provide a way out. That is a promise of my God that I claim. I claim that. And sometimes, you know what? We just need to grow up. Sometimes we just need to face it and we need to stop. Sooner or later, that's the thing. You know, we can read self-help books and look it up on the internet and try to all these different groups that we can go to help us with this issue. But typically, you know what you got to do? Yeah, stand up and be a man or a woman and face it and say, no, I will not do that anymore. And my God, this God up here, the same God that helped Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walk into a fiery furnace and come out of a fiery furnace, that God will help me stop. And Jesus Christ is the only one. He is the only one that can help us. That God is real and he's available to you. If you're a believer, you have him inside of you. That's what the word tells us. He's part of you. That power is available to you and me. Oh, hallelujah, we are not left alone. God loves us too much for that. He has a different kind of life in mind for us than the world would have for us. God does. The world is just pumping us with information. And most of it is not from God. And we need to put up our shields of faith, stand together as a family of believers, and fight against that. We're going to look different. Oh my, we'll look different. But we'll be smiling. We'll be in love with each other. We'll be in love with our Creator. And our life will attract other people. Why? Because it's Jesus Christ. It's God. It's the Creator. We'll be worshiping together. And this world will be drawn into that. I honestly believe that. I honestly believe that's what we're a part of. And if you're just checking out our church, I invite you to be a part of that. Not a bunch of people, brain surgeons with all this knowledge or anything, but we love our God. And we're trying to follow Him and understand Him and be led by Him. And have relationship with Him. Be careful not to forget the covenant of the Lord your God that He made with you. Do not make for yourselves an idol in the form of anything the Lord your God has forbidden. And that would be anything that you're worshiping not God. Anything that takes away, any diversion, that water diversion, that emotion diversion, your money diversion, your time diversion, any diversion that takes you away from that one and only God. I could read it to you again. Start worshiping God. You alone are the Lord, says in Nehemiah. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens, and all their starry hosts, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to everything, and the multitudes of heaven worship you. Oh, that's beautiful. The multitudes of heaven worship the one and only God. He alone is worthy of our worship. Like this verse in Revelation. Who will not fear you, O Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. God is not hidden from us. He has revealed himself to us. He came to this earth as a little baby, a little defenseless baby. Our God came to a stable, into poverty, a little defenseless baby into poverty, so that we could know him, so that we could have relationship with him, so we could look at God and be drawn to him. You know, in Daniel chapter 6, go through it again. Daniel gets thrown into a lion's den. This time it's a lion's den. Man, this poor guy. Again, because he wouldn't bow down, he wouldn't worship the king, the new king Darius. He wouldn't worship him. No. I'll worship God alone. So he's thrown into the lion's den. And nothing happens. He doesn't get eaten up. I don't know if they're like little kittens purring along. It's like... But he comes back and he comes out and he's fine. And then King Darius finally realizes, oh my goodness, this God of Daniel's is real. You know, there's a promise in the Bible that says every knee will bow. Every single knee. That's every one of you and me. Every knee will bow. Every knee in Provo, Utah Valley, Utah, the United States, the world, every knee will bow. Everyone. That's a promise. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. There will come a day that will happen. That's a promise from our God. We're called to worship and worship only. Because that day will come. He has promised it. Believe it. Live it. Take a look at your life. Anything that takes you away, that diverts you away from your relationship with God, think it over. Pray to God about it. Make sure that it fits in your relationship with God and your building blocks to get you closer to God. His grace and mercy rain down on you, but are your eyes on him? I love the picture of when I know when my kids were little, I would grab a hold of their face because I make sure I had eye contact because they're looking all over the place trying to do stuff. And I just, no, this one I want you to understand. I want you to understand that you don't go out in that street over there, right there, okay? We might be at the carnival and it's a lot of fun and everything over here is really cool, but you don't go out there because there's all kinds of cars and it could hurt you. You see me? Okay, keep your eyes on Dad. Okay, there's a lot of people here. It's crowded here. You stay right next to me. I don't want you to go anywhere where you can't see me. And I have a visual of my Lord, my King, looking at me. Steve, you got to keep your eyes. You got to keep your eyes on me, Mac. You keep your eyes on me because this world, oh my goodness, look around. It is so dangerous. It will take you out. You will be tempted over here and over here. So what I want you to do, my son, my chosen one, I want you to keep your eyes on me. And when I finally submit and surrender and understand that and comprehend that and attempt the best way I know how to do that, things start to make sense. I was created to worship you. Why would I look at anything else? Let's pray. Let's pray to this holy God. Father God, I love you and I worship you right now. God, collectively with my brothers and sisters here tonight, Father God, I pray to you. I worship you. I'm not even sure what that means, God. I worship you with the word, just calling you God, calling you King. I worship you with my life, God. With my presence here, coming here, God, that if in any way, that is worship. I worship you in my songs, singing earlier with the band leading us, God. Thank you for that. Thank you that you put that together so that we could sing to you. I worship you, God. And thank you for all of us that you brought here tonight, God. You had something for us. I thank you for that. I thank you. You're a God that just doesn't leave us on this planet to be just to figure things out on our own. You are very clearly directing us. I thank you for that, God. Thank you for your grace and mercy for our constant mistakes. Thank you that you love us like a father that is perfect because you are perfect. And so your love is perfect. It's right. And it's real. And it's evident. And just rain it down on all of us, God. Father God, if there's anyone who doesn't know you tonight, I pray even right now in my prayer, somehow you would be in that. You would be in that, this prayer, God. You'd be in this prayer to people. And they would be hearing your voice and not my own. God, it would be you showing yourself to them. Pray you'd save them. Pray for all of us that know you, God. You help us despite ourselves. Help us to keep our eyes on you. And I just pray that in Jesus' name, amen. Well, tonight we're not going to have a last song. But next week, we're going to continue with our topical study. Thank God you're here. And decided to add another topic, Christianity. Because I've had quite a few questions lately about who's Christian and who's not. Even in the media, a lot of that has come up, and you can count on me just coming up with a real second-grade answer to that, but hopefully it'll be real clear that you and I can walk away with and say, okay, I'm Christian, or okay, that's what Christian is. So come on back next week. Remember, this is a family. Enjoy yourself. There's cookies back there and coffee, and we just do appreciate everyone that came here tonight. Thank you.